I'll see if this gets in there. Hope so.
We're in the book of Psalms, chapter number 9. Book of Psalms, chapter number 9. If you're familiar with this passage, you might be aware of what I'm going to be speaking on. Psalms, chapter 9. I think there's something we have to make sure we keep balanced. It's been on everybody's mind. It's hard not to be. It has to do with America. So we want to look at some things today. There's really only two points. And they're both based on the title, A Question and an Answer at the Same Time. And I can say yes to both of them. But the question is the answer. The question is America on purpose. And so the first one we want to look at has to do with God's purpose of America. America on purpose. I believe it's on purpose. Is America following and yielding to that purpose? America on purpose. And one way or another, we need to look and realize and understand that we're not talking in England or New Zealand or Greece or Switzerland or Greenland or Canada. We're in America. And America is a unique country. It is a unique country, brother. We're going to see and understand that. And there's been many people, the founding fathers, that warned us about this tempering, this combination in our understanding of America. Adams and Jefferson and Madison, Lincoln, Washington, right on down. Benjamin Franklin. They all warned about an oppressive, over-assertive government that departs from the Constitution and the God-fearing faith of the founding fathers. It's going to be hard to not deny. We're going to look at some things and recognize that they never intended the misuse of the phrase that they didn't even coin, separation of church and state, as though God isn't supposed to be part of government. The idea of our founding fathers is that God, if God isn't part of our government, the God of the Bible, then you're going to experience exactly what we're beginning to experience right now. Yeah. And if the truth be told, we've been experiencing it gradually over a century.
Yeah.
America is on a free fall. Amen. And we want to look at some things in Psalms chapter number 9. I think it's Psalms chapter number 9. Let's pick it up in verse number 8. He shall judge the world in righteousness. Talking about God. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed. You ever feel like you're in exile in your own country?
No.
That's what's happening.
Yep.
And it's because America's on purpose. We need to realize two things we're going to see. We're going to see that America on purpose is because their founding had to do with pilgrims. And their future has to do with pillars. And our role in it is that of pillars and pilgrims. Let's look at this. We got to keep this balance, brother, because I don't know about you. You feel like you got your stomach punched. Feel like it's hard to sing songs on 4th of July about the greatness of your country. Mm-hmm. And you want to balance the bitter hatred that if you were allowed the seeds of Satan to be sown in your heart would begin to have that type of fruit. You also want to be careful of the apostasy of the church and having a blind loyalty. A line's been crossed. And we want to look at that today. He says God's going to judge. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge. Where's our refuge? Is it America or is it God? We're Americans who live in America, but if you think your refuge is in America, you're going to stay down for the count. And I want you to get back up, because it's a new life you're supposed to be breathing. Amen? Smell the salt, not just the coffee. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed. A refuge in times of trouble. And I'm not saying we're going through the tribulation, but we're heading to it on a fast track pace, brother. Amen. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doing. That's preaching, declaring. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. And I just believe that Christians mistake revival with some mass manifestation of a reenactment of what took place during the Great Awakening and the Reformation. And I'm a strong believer that the last days day revival is one-on-one. It involves humility in your walk with God. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble, which I suffer of them that hate me. You've got to understand that. It's a hatred for you because it's a hatred for God in the situation that we live in today as we're on a fast-track rebellion against the Bible. The Bible says, Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. I mean, you read about that all the time in the Bible. Haman's gallows ends up hanging him. The lion's den ends up being something that eats the people that want to throw Daniel in it. The walls of Jericho end up crushing the people of Jericho. The laws of the world will entrap and put in bondage the people of the world that are making them laws. Don't forget that, brother. Amen. And so he says they are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Higayon means to meditate. Stop and think about this. Selah, peace. Stop and think about who our God is and where our citizenship really is from. Amen? The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. It doesn't just say that know not God. It says that forget God. Now I'm standing here, and we're going to keep this tempered, because I don't hate America. All the nations, I love this country. I'm saddened by what I see, but I'm not blind to what's going on. Judgment is coming. God's holiness doesn't step aside for anybody, brother. And the Bible says all the nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. That includes America. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. I mean, you look at the celebrations of the wicked. Why are they so angry? If they win anything, well, what's the anger all about? The anger is because they know they didn't win. The Bible says the devil he comes down in wrath because he knows he only has a short season. The world knows it's on the losing side. They know it. We should have the peace knowing we're on the winning side. Amen. What's the anger about if you won? They didn't win. They want you to bow. Don't bow. They want God to bow. He won't bow. The only place he bowed was at Calvary. Amen. And he was bowing to his own self in what he did and what he accomplished. Amen. So he says, put them in fear, O Lord, people living in fear. That the nations may know. They already knew. See, all the nations that forget God, Mm-hmm. They forget God. People know the God of the Bible is different, brother. He's different. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Selah. We want to get a hold of this. We want to understand nations are made of people. We are citizens of America. The nation of America is made of people. And what's unique about America is the people that God used to found this country. Amen? We want to look at that. We want to understand that. Let's first have a word of prayer. Lord, please. Please, with the right heart, we are grieved at what we see happening in our country. I know it'll never be the same. I know it. And it would be ignorance and actually rebellion against you to think that America won't be judged. It can't be judged. We're asking for mercy, not just for the country, but for our part of being people within this country. All of us have failed in certain ways. And yet, Lord, this isn't to bemoan or to beat ourselves down. We recognize that judgment must first begin at the house of God. Let us realize, Lord, that we're citizens of heaven, that Christ is coming back. But as long as we have breath and we are Americans, there is still purpose that you have for us. Help us to recognize, see what it is, and utilize the opportunity of time, the short time that still remains. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Recently, I saw a fight, a UFC fight. And it was an underdog Cuban. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take you to two nations and show you a parallel in their relationship with God and Israel. But this UFC fighter, he was an underdog. He was an immigrant. He was a Cuban. His name is Ramos or something. And what was interesting is he won the fight and he stood up afterwards very huffing and puffing and tired, very excited. He had something he wanted to say. And he had a unique headband on, had red lettering on it. And as they got closer and closer, you could read it. It said John 3:16. And he said, and he spoke in really broken, you know, Cuban English. Listen, listen, listen. What happened? What happened, America? You forget the best of the best of the best is Jesus, America. Go back to Jesus, America. Amen. I looked at that. I'm like, what a rebuke. Amen. Go for Jesus, UFC fighter. Brother, we're fighting the good fight of faith. And you need to realize, you and I need to realize, that America is on purpose. We don't want to have a blind loyalty or a bitter love, a hatred. America's in crisis. The church is in crisis. A tsunami of chaos is coming. Amen. I'm not a prophet. Don't claim to be. I just know God's holy. And if you think this is just going to keep on going, you're wrong. It's already changed, brother. Amen. A line's been drawn in the sand, and America has stepped on the wrong side of the law. And so we're going to look both a question and an answer. America on purpose. We're going to understand that it is on purpose. Have you ever had the adventurous courage to jump out of an airplane? I did it because I was a coward, not because I was courageous. But 10,000 feet jumping down, they say the thrill of this adventure is in what's called a free fall. You just feel free. And my problem wasn't the fact that I felt free. My problem was I felt like I was falling. Amen. So it was difficult for me to enjoy it. The parachute acts as an airborne flag. Amen, so to speak. Your safety, your security. Unfortunately, there's a few dozen people every year that die because the parachute doesn't open. The sensation of that free fall, that thrill is just being, I'm free, as you look around and you're falling. America's on a free fall. What if the parachute doesn't open? It's not going to. And when a parachute doesn't open, you're supposed to have a reserve parachute. But the reserve parachute will do you no good unless you first disconnect the main parachute that you were trusting for your security. Because the one will get tangled up in the other. That's called repentance in the Bible, brother. America's got to let go of what they're holding on to for safety and security. True repentance must precede the crash that is about to hit America. What we want to do is the parachute, I know, hasn't opened, and America's in a free fall, and it's only seconds. The reality of time, it's going to be over. Let's slow down as we watch, and let's look at two aspects of what I want to look at, America on purpose. And the first thing I want you to do, you can turn to the book of Exodus. But he talks about this episode in Exodus. It's Egypt. And he talks about Pharaoh, and I want you to get this. Because he talks about Pharaoh later on in the book of Romans, and he says, "The scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up.
Yes.
That I might show my power in thee, that my name might be declared throughout all the earth." Amen. Nations have a purpose. Mm-hmm. In the book of Exodus, it was a former, Exodus chapter 1, a former Supreme Court judge, Earl Warren, considered to be extremely liberal, 1950s. He said, "I believe that no one can read the history of our country without realizing the good book and the spirit of our Savior, which has from the beginning been our guiding genius. The same objective is present as it was in the past, a Christian land governed by a Christian principles. The problem is that our understanding of Christian has gotten all misconstrued. It's no longer based on the Bible." Amen. In Exodus chapter 1, you've got to see, here's Egypt, a nation. A nation that God said, "I have a purpose for." And I'm telling you right now that America is on purpose. It is a unique nation. There's no nation that has ever existed like America. It's unique. I'm not saying or even implying in the least that we've supplanted God's purpose for the nation of Israel in America. I'm just telling you that America is on purpose. There's no doubt in my mind. He says in Exodus 1 verse 8, this Pharaoh that he said he had a purpose was a leader who forgot why Egypt was blessed and so great. It was because of the Jews. And he says, "Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph." And as a result of that, bondage and oppression followed. Joseph himself said in the previous chapter, "Fear not, I'm in the place of God. You thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." God's always been interested in the saving business ever since man became lost in their souls. And I want you to realize that nations have a soul composed of the culmination of all the people that constitute that nation, because people have souls. And God's very much concerned in what happens with nations. Like he tried to get Jonah to realize, "What do you think, I'm just going to destroy that nation, Nineveh, because you don't like them?" There are souls over there. Amen. You understand that? God looks at America, brother, there are souls over here. So, America on purpose. We have to understand this, because when you look in Exodus, this story goes, there's a word that's connected with Israel and saved people in the Old Testament. It's in Exodus chapter 6. He says in verse 3, "I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob." You see that right there? "But the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah, was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give to them the land of Canaan," the land of their what?
Pilgrimage.
Of their pilgrimage. Israel was said to be pilgrims. And, brother, there's only one country that I know of in the world whose founding is based on pilgrims. It's America. Amen. Unique. No other country. America on purpose. Yes. The great American experiment, they called it. A success. The American exceptionalism, prosperity, is because God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has shed his grace on thee. That's why. But at one time, he didn't. And at one time, he wouldn't and couldn't until pilgrims came to this country. Do you realize that? There's been lots of people that have tried to tap into the wealth of America. Never been able to. French, Spaniards, Italians. You got your treasure hunters, your adventurers, whatever people might think they might get out of coming to a way to prosper out of America, and nobody's ever been able to until the pilgrims. Outside of Israel, I believe America is the greatest country that's ever existed. Yeah. I believe it's the greatest country. God, as far as I'm concerned, has blessed America. He's in the saving business. We want to understand that. Outside of Israel, amen, I believe that the only pilgrim country that's ever existed, I believe, is America. Amen. We're different, brother. You go to Italy and you'll see a bunch of people shaped like me. Amen. You go to Poland, you'll see a bunch of people, they all look Polish. Nigeria, they all look Nigerian. Russian, all look Russian. You come to America, and we all look different. But the founding fathers had one thing in common when they started this country and God honored it. It was faith in the Lord Jesus Christ with the desire to win souls and worship God in freedom. Amen. Don't ever think that's the case. That is America. It's history. Jesus Christ gives the Great Commission in Matthew chapter number 28. Don't hate America because of what's happening in America. America as a nation is made of peoples. We're people. America on purpose? Yes. On purpose. God blessed America. Amen. There's not been a greater country. Glenn Beck said, I would proudly be a citizen in respect to the lives and protection of the Constitution of the United States of America. But we're no longer that country. I didn't leave my country. My country left me. I'm right where I've always been and where the country used to be, ruled by the Constitution. But you can't leave it at the Constitution, because the basis for the Constitution was Christians putting that thing together. You can't. Brother, 50 of the 56 people that signed the Declaration of Independence, they were Christians. And a number of them were preachers. We can't forget that. We can't take that for granted. Amen. Most people know that Columbus discovered America, but what most people don't know is technically Columbus didn't discover America. Because he didn't set foot on continental America. It was the West Indies. He believed that he had discovered India, so he called it Indias. The Indies, amen. Indians, he called them. It was 1499. Amerigo Vespucci discovered that what Columbus had stumbled across wasn't the Indies, it was another continent. It was continental America. They called it the New World. You realize there's no more New World until God comes and sets up His. Amen. Amen. There's nowhere else to go. We've run out of time. America's on a free fall. Amen. The parachute is not gonna open. Amen. God cut the string. But there's a reserve parachute. Jesus Christ. And I'm somebody that's pulled that long before God cut the strings. Amen. You've got, the reality is, Vikings and Indian tribes and Arabs and Chinese and all kinds of people have been here before. The pilgrims. But God never blessed any one of them. Any group of them, any nation of them. Why? The Bible says that Christians are pilgrims. You can't lose sight of the fact that America is not home sweet home.
Amen.
We're pilgrims. We're going to another country. Amen. Amen. This is just on the way. 1609, you had a bunch of Christians in England. They were sick and tired of the Roman Catholic Church oppressing them. And the Church of England just did the same thing with under the guise of Protestantism. They were telling them what they had to do, what they had to believe, how they had to act, what they were controlling. They didn't give them freedom to worship, so they went to Holland, where supposedly they had freedom to worship God. And that freedom was something that began to bother them, and they struggled with because of the challenges that Holland was putting upon these English Christians, as they treated them differently, even though they respected them. And they began to be concerned about their children and the worldliness and the bondage that they felt might be right around the corner. So they decided to take part in this American expedition, and going there themselves to worship God, true freedom, true faith, amen, where nobody would bother them or tell them what they'd have to do. So in 1620, they went back to England, and they made an arrangement with a couple of groups that in England, the from London and Plymouth, there were a group of people that would willing to fund these pilgrims, and they would had an arrangement they would pay them back over a period of time, and they invested in them, and the Jamestown people went from London back in a little bit earlier, a few years earlier in 1620. Is a very famous one where the pilgrims went aboard the Mayflower. And you've got to understand this, brother, because they left the comforts of the world they were secure with to go to a world they've never seen before. But they went there based on faith and trusting God. They got on the Mayflower and they left from the port called Plymouth. That's why when they finally got to America, they called it Plymouth Rock, where they settled. But their intention was to go to Virginia, to go to the northern part of Virginia, because somebody else was already on the southern part of Virginia. And aboard this ship, it wasn't a transport ship or a tourist ship or a cruise ship with lots of fun things to do. It was a cargo ship with very little space and very little comfort and not a very smooth ride. It was just to get them from point A to point B. And there's only a little bit over 100 people on this ship, and only about a third of those, 35 or 30, whatever, it was about 35 of them, were Christians, who were called separatists or saints, what some of them call them. They weren't Puritans that were trying to purify the reform the Church of England. They were separatists. They wanted to be separate from. And there was the other 60-something, 66, whatever, however many, they were called strangers. They were en route to Virginia, and here they go on the cargo ship. And over the next 2 months, darkness and dampness and mold and wet and puking and crying and hungering and sickness and dietary issues and all different types of things and fears and doubts and questions. For the next 2 months, the wind blew them off course. Or was it on course? America on purpose? I believe so. Because they didn't get to Virginia. They missed it by a few miles. They ended up on the very tip of Cape Cod, a place called Provincetown. And let me tell you something, brother. The circle's complete. I don't know if you know it, but Provincetown is capital gay city. And they were there, and they said, I don't think we're going to stay here. They were going to try to attempt to still go down south to Virginia, but the winds wouldn't let them. And there wasn't fresh water they found in the beaches on Provincetown. It wasn't a rock. It was sandy ground. And there was no fresh water, and the Indians there, they were threatened by. So lo and behold, they followed the wind a few miles north, south, east, west, northwest. They found themselves on the coast of the bayside, I've come to learn, of Cape Cod, or near Boston. It was Plymouth. And they saw a giant rock that the Christians there saw that as sort of an indication from God that that's a good place. Because they didn't just get off their boat and go finally get out and go get a hotel and shower. Go to McDonald's with Kentucky Fried Chicken. They didn't do that, brother. They had to stay on them. It was winter time. What are they doing this for? Well, before they got off the boat to go on shore, they made what's called the Mayflower Compact. We ain't going to make it unless we band together in unity. You see, you've got to understand this as Christians. If you're really going to discover purpose, and until you discover your purpose, you're just wandering. The Mayflower Compact, brother, they understood unity, that they understood the difference of being an individual and the difference of being independent. And they needed each other. And as Christians, we need to understand a relationship with God and as a body, and we're going to need to discover it more and more in a real life, three-dimensional experiences as the Lord tarries. We're going to need each other in a different way. Our dependency on God will often be supplied by the body. And so that's what they recognized. They wrote the Mayflower Compact, and it went like this, part of it, in the name of God, amen. Do you see this here, brother? It's not furs or gold or silver or diamond mines or a merchandise. In the name of God, amen. We whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign Lord King James, by the grace of God. ... Having undertaken for the glory of God. There's no country like this. America on purpose, yes. Amen. You don't think he saw their faith? There's no reason they survived and lived. Only 30-some of them. Half of them died that first winter. And having undertaken for the glory of God an advancement of the Christian faith. An advancement of the Christian faith. And honor of our King and country, do by these presents solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and one of another covenant and combine ourselves together into a civil body politic. They're just showing it. This is a Mayflower Compact. Before we go out there, we can't fight against each other. We got to kind of be on the same side. But they did it under the eyes of God. Very important to recognize and understand. Being thus arrived, Bradford, the first eventual governor, he wrote the first American history book, one of the original pilgrims. Being thus arrived in a good harbor and brought safe to land, they fell upon their knees and blessed the God of heaven who had brought them over the vast and furious oceans. Isn't that something? They acknowledged God. God was the reason they were there. God was the reason they knew that if they were going to make it, it was going to be because of Him. Eventually, this principle would become one nation under God. It's not that way anymore. Amen? Don't let the world cause you to hate America. Amen? America is a nation made of people. Are you one of those people? Are you a Christian? Amen? That's the foundation of this country. Praise the Lord, Brother John. We don't want bitter hatred, but we also don't want blind loyalty. We'll get there next. And so they're there, and they were struggling to survive, and lo and behold, they stumbled upon an area of a previous populace that inhabited the woods, but were all gone. And then out of nowhere, an Indian approaches them. They eventually meet this fellow. His name is Squanto. Squanto means Squanto. And he happened to be an Indian that was kidnapped years earlier and brought to England. And when he was kidnapped and brought to England years earlier, he learned how to speak English. And while he was there, by the way, he was converted to Christianity. America! On purpose! He went back to his home village eventually years later. And his entire tribe was extinct. Smallpox had gone through. And that's where he saw the pilgrims. And he became their guide and stayed with them to help them make sure they would make it. Spoke with them and gave them all the Indian secrets that he knew. That first fall, there was a thanksgiving that Governor Bradford had. They gave thanks to God. And when I say they gave thanks to God, I mean they gave thanks to God. It's not like Thanksgiving so often is today, because today America has forgotten God. It's not thanks to God anymore. It really isn't, brother. Amen. And how to, there's nothing wrong with thanks to God and the blessings of God and all this sort of thing. And I recently were just talking about one of my kids. Just get a kick out of it. I got to share it with you because I just can't help but chuckle over them. There's nothing wrong with the blessings of God and prosperity and seeing, look what God's done, and I'm looking forward to more. Amen. That's not being spoiled. That could be someone that's very thankful. Amen. And I think about one of my sons. He's not here. His name, well, Caleb, was here when he was younger. And he was really little. And he could count. And he said, Dad, guess 30 days before Christmas. And the next day he'd go to bed talking, hey, Dad, guess what? 29. And we go, right, I kid, 28 days before Christmas. And there it was, Christmas. He just enjoyed all the things and the gifts he had tucked into bed that night. And he looked, I'll never forget. And he said, hey, Dad, guess what? I said, what? He said, 300. Before Christmas. Was that being unthankful? Or was that being thankful? Amen. Father God blessed us with bounty. He's our Father. Enjoy all the riches that belong to us. Amen. But don't forget why they belong to us. Amen. America has forgotten. But America is a nation filled with people. I'm one of those people. Amen. I don't want to forget Harvard. The purpose of Harvard and all the Ivy League schools was to prepare young men for ministry in Massachusetts, the first institution of higher learning. Let every student be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well the main end of his life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life.
Amen.
And therefore lay Christ in the bottom as the only foundation of all sound knowledge and learning. America, on purpose. More missionaries, more evangelists, outreach to souls and monies and Bible schools. What happened, America? They've forgotten. And brother, we don't want to forget we're pilgrims in this world. New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia. The 13 stripes on the flag, I believe that's what they represent. You read the charters of Connecticut and these eastern colonies. You read their charters. They're all talking about allegiance and commendations and praise to God and Jesus Christ. Now, these colonies were the first official voluntary American union. We began to join together. It just started happening. The principles of these pilgrims with hard work, they tried when they first got here to have a common house and they put everything in the common house and dispersed. They tried socialism. Amen? But it didn't work. And the next year, Governor Bradford realized, well, I'm going to just give everybody a piece of land. And whatever you earn, you keep. And whatever you're able to make and trade with the Indians or sell that, it's yours. And guess what? It took off. It's called free enterprise. Mm-hmm. You'll work harder if you own what you work for.
That's right.
Rather than the government giving it to you for free. You know what that produces? Lazy people. Mm-hmm. What's happened to America? What's happened? I've forgotten. I haven't forgotten. Nations are made of people. And America began to prosper and began to compete actually with England. And if you can't tap into them, then we'll tax into them. They begin to tax America. More material creeps in America, and there's a need for revival, a fresh awakening. America on purpose. God sent one of the greatest revivals ever, the 1600s and 1700s, to America. And America became stronger as a result of it. Hundreds of thousands of people got saved. Not just America. From America, it went to all parts of the world, all around the world. Never want to forget, brother. America on purpose. God's in the soul-saving business. Don't forget that. The town seemed to be full of the presence of God. The revival struck the hearts first of the young people and then of their elders all over the town. The tavern was soon empty. People had done with their quarrels, backbiting, and meddling with other men's affairs. Jonathan Edwards, sinners in the hands of an angry God. Messages that would bore us to death today. But back then, people got saved as a result of it. Amen? Ethan Allen. They're getting ready for the war with Britain because the colonies didn't want to pay taxes without representation anymore. They threw the tea off the Boston boat over there in the harbor, and it resulted in an ensuing war. Ethan Allen requested surrender. Went to a British officer, requested him to surrender, and he said, "By what authority do you command it?" He said, "In the name of the great Jehovah." And the Continental Congress. We're on God's side. America on purpose. Yes, America is on purpose. You need to realize that, Mother. You need to remember that and never forget it. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator. They didn't evolve. They're endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This is the Declaration of Independence, Mother. Eventually, the Bill of Rights, through the greatest pieces of literature ever penned by human beings. Amen? But they weren't ordinary human beings. They were pilgrims. They were Christians. See? America on purpose? Yes, America on purpose. Benjamin Franklin said, "I have lived a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men." James Madison knew the fallen nature of people. He's a Christian. He established the three branches of government based on Isaiah 33, verse 22, I believe, the legislative, executive, and judicial branch. In order for America to fall, all three branches would have to fall. Threefold cord is not easily broken. It's taken a couple hundred years, hasn't it? For the House of Representatives, Senate, the position of the President, Vice President, and the Supreme Court to unite together against God and the Bible, hasn't it? But they have. They're passing laws that are against God and the Bible. It's not about, brother, it's not about homosexuality. If it was, you'd be going after the Muslims. They hate them. They kill them. The same day that they passed that Supreme Court, Muslims threw four of them off of their roofs over there in Iraq, wherever it was, and publicized it with the same hat. It's not about that. It's about the God of the Bible. That's what this is. I know I'm on the winning side, brother. Amen. You have to realize nations are made of people. Don't let what America's doing and where's it going cause you to hate America. I'm telling you right now, when Jesus Christ was on that cross, he saw far worse in America. And he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The next nation I'd like you to see has to do with Babylon. And the book of Daniel, chapter 5, I'll read this to you. But not only with pilgrims, Paul says this, and I'm going to read you in Daniel chapter 5, but Paul says it's interesting, because it's the way Jesus Christ would talk. I could tell he hung around Christ. But he said this over there in 1 Timothy chapter 4. He said, "These things write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly." Man. "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." America on purpose. America still has purpose. Not just its foundation, brother, its future. You and I have an opportunity that we're being called to live through right now. He talks about in the book of Revelation, "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God." Not just as a pillar, not just as a pilgrim, but as a pillar. And this is what I read about in Daniel 5. I'll read this. Bear with me, brethren. Amen. It's been on my heart for the last 2 weeks. You saw it coming down the pike, amen? Daniel says, talking to Belshazzar, he says, talking about his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar got saved, he said, "Till he knew that the Most High ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, But thou hast lifted thyself up against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of it. They're celebrating, but they're miserable. They're not happy. They're celebrating with the things of God, trying to mock the people of God. Jesus, you have no idea what you're doing. He says, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. He's telling many men a Tekel Parson, the writings on the wall, brother. Now, the days are numbered. America on purpose. America still has a purpose. Get this. Because the Bible talks about Israel, and God says to Abraham, he said, I'm going to bless the nations that bless thee, and curse those that curse thee. I don't know if you realize and understand this. But America on purpose, yes. We're in a free fall, brother. Amen. But I know the reserve parachute. My people call by my name. We've got to humble ourselves. Starts with us. Amen. And let me tell you something right now. It involves Israel. The purpose of America. Because after the Declaration of Independence and the War of Independence, it wasn't long after that America went to another war. The bloodiest of all their wars was the Civil War. And the South thinks the Civil War was about states' rights, which it was. The North thinks the Civil War was about slavery, which in part it was. But God, I'm telling you, had a purpose for America. It was about Israel. The Bible says in Zechariah chapter number 2, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that toucheth the apple of his eye. Israel is the center of God's view when he sees the nations, not America. America on purpose? Yes, they had a purpose. Just like the Jews didn't see God was going to the Gentiles, the church doesn't see God's going back to Israel. We haven't taken their place, amen? Nobody can. The Civil War, brother, was involving keeping America united. Why? We were instrumental in freeing Israel in World War I. We were one of the allies with Russia and England. In the culmination of that war in 1917, the foreign minister at that time, Balfour, after winning that war, after 19 centuries, formally made what's called the Balfour Declaration. And it said, an establishment in Palestine, formally, for a national home for the Jewish people. Balfour was a Christian who was a dispensationalist, who believed strongly that before Christ came back, Israel's got to go back to their homeland. And when the Allies jointly won World War I, he went over there and they said, listen, you can go back to the land. The land was ready. But Israel wasn't. Israel wasn't. He needed World War II, 1947-48, after the Jewish Nazi Holocaust. You know, the result of that socialistic Nazi Holocaust. Amen. One third of the Jews were annihilated in Adolf Hitler's attempt to totally destroy all Jews. And after that war, Israel went back. By way of an exodus, the Jewish people went back to Israel. See, it started with the Jews not being ready for the land. And then it came, okay, I got the land ready, now I'll get you ready. God has a way of getting your purpose back on focus. This isn't our home, brethren. Why are you so sad about what's going on in America? I know, it's a hit in the stomach, but this isn't our home. It's not our home. We're pilgrims. Amen. We live in a nation as people in America. We're Americans. Praise God, it's the greatest country that ever lived. Don't let anybody cause you to hate it. But don't have a blind loyalty. There's a lot of Christians in America could do no wrong. What are you talking about? They've done lots wrong. So what are you going to do? Well, Jesus is coming back, and he's going to sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem. And every time somebody goes to war against Israel, you got that law of physics. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. 1948, they try to destroy them, you establish their restoration. 1956, you try to destroy them, they get the Suez Canal, establish their sovereignty. 1967, you have the Six-Day War, all the nations surround Israel, they get back Jerusalem. 1973, Yom Kippur tried to destroy Israel, they get the West Banks. I can't wait for the next war, amen? Daniel's the revelation of the Old Testament. God's not done with Israel. He's not done with America. He's not done with the church. He's not done with you and I. Nations are made of people. And if you're in this church and you're a Christian in America, He has a purpose. Brother, America needs teachers and appliance workers and steel workers. And America needs missionaries in America. Amen? You have a purpose. They need to hear that God's in the saving business. Brother, He's never stopped being in that saving business. Don't have a bitter hatred. Don't have a blind loyalty. You're on the winning side. Amen? Get back and get back in the fight. America has a purpose. I understand the rise and fall of nations parallel the relationship with Israel. And I understand the prophetic time clock of America's apostasy and our recent betrayal of Israel under the president Obama. I understand that joining with the Pope is becoming more and more open as he's acknowledging the state of Palestine and the environmental movement. I understand what's going on, brother. The rapture's getting ready to take place. But until it takes place, don't quit on America. You'll be no different than that, than the Benedict Arnold, who's named after Benedict Arnold. Amen. The American soldier who was a soldier in the on the colonial side. But because of pride. Amen. And desire for recognition. He sold secrets. George Washington gave him West Point. And he ended up selling it to Britain. Amen. And joined with the wrong side. But when he got to the other side, because he was on the wrong side, they all looked at him with disdain. He wasn't lauded. He died a miserable man. Don't you get to the other side and be a miserable man. Amen. A Benedict Arnold. We're not just pilgrims, brother. We're pillars of freedom. This is the clarion call in the last days. Amen. And it's in the book of Joshua. I'll read it to you. Joshua 23. I believe there's a revival one-on-one right here. America. Joe Albert. America. Eileen Albert. America. Linda Goss. America. Jim. America. Nations are made of individual peoples. Amen. Make your decision. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But he said, one man of you shall chase 1,000 for the Lord your God. He it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. So the Bible says that the devil in the last days is going to make, he frameth mischief by laws. It's our time to fight. Stand up. Speak up. You ever read about hedges in the Bible? God says he's going to take away the hedges of Israel. It's what Job was wrestling with Satan, wanted to take away that hedge. Let me tell you, you take away the hedge from a hedgehog and you just got a hog. Amen? I don't care how cute and cuddly it is. You take away the hedge from America and you just got pigs like any other pagan country. Amen, Brother John? It's God's hedge that's been around us. But he's removing the hedges. Have you not noticed? Have you not noticed the battles that we're laughing at and winking at? The politicians in what Israel has to deal with? The bombs are coming here. The borders that are letting the Syrians, that come right into, we want you to let them have this. They're coming right here. Did you see what God's doing? Amen? So in 1901, they get rid of the Bible. Stay true to the Bible, brethren. I'm an American. American on purpose. Yeah, I still have a purpose. I'm still here. I'm not going to deny this book because America denies it or laughs at it. Amen? 1962, they get rid of prayer in the schools. Stand up, brethren. I'm not going to stop praying because the laws say it's you frameth mischief by law. 1963, you can't bring a Bible to school anymore. Amen? I don't care what they say. Do you realize we're having church in a school? 1973, they say it's okay to kill babies. Stand up, America. Amen? We're Americans. Amen? We're Christians. We understand the foundation of America. It's a rock. It's not sinking sand. Amen? Go right on down the line. Everything and everything they're saying, evolution and the redefinition of marriage. I'm not going to marry homosexuals ever. Amen. It'll never happen. I'm not going to deny this book ever. I'm not going to question that, well, maybe we did evolve. ever. Amen? I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed of it. Amen? We have the opportunity to be pillars of freedom. Amen? Not just pilgrims for freedom. What an amazing truth. They call it the tragedy du jour. Every day is a new tragedy. You read the newspaper. Always wanting you to think. I know what the devil does. The Bible says he'll become strong with a small people. He uses minority issues to deal with your conscience and prod you into guilt. Do you realize, brother, that every nation in the world has had slaves?
Yep.
As a matter of fact, most of them still do.
Yeah.
It's not a black-white issue, man. Mm-hmm. Their conscience, he manipulates this guilty conscience, amen, of women versus men. I mean, if it was against slavery and black versus white, you'd be going to Africa and dealing with people that are still enslaved over there. Amen? Or women, if it was women's rights, you'd go to China. You'd go to Russia and Arabia, how they treat these women. But it's not about women. It's not about blacks and whites and slaves. It's about the God of the Bible. Amen? America on purpose. Yeah, we still have a purpose. I know why Satan hates America. Because of how God has used it. And still intends to use it as long as Christians are here. It's not about homosexuality, but there's 2% of the population's minority. He makes it strong through through small people. Frameth mischief by a law. Amen? Brother, who cares about any of that stuff? Homosexuals need to get saved just like anybody and everybody else that doesn't know Jesus Christ. But their sin is filthy and it's an abomination. And God recognizes and warns you that when you see that, judgment is right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
We've made a circle, America. I told you, don't you know what's at Provincetown where the pilgrims first came to land, but they wouldn't step foot on. They wanted the rock. That's one of the homosexual capitals of America. Amen? They celebrate, they put up a flag. It's not the American flag. They put up a rainbow. It's not the Noah's rainbow. It's only got six colors. They're one short of the promises of God, brother. Amen? So America's on a free fall. I know the reserve parachute. It's Jesus Christ. It's the cross. Don't let the world cause you to hate America. And don't have a false loyalty and love for America. Judgment's coming. We have a voice and an opportunity as Americans to let people know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob isn't dead. He's alive. Amen. Here's a song I'd like to sing to you. I don't know if you've heard this. In New York Harbor stands a lady with her torch raised to the sky, and all who see her know she stands for liberty for you and I. Don't be bitter. I'm so proud to be called an American, to be named with the brave and the free, not ashamed to proclaim my trust in God and the Statue of Liberty. Don't be hateful with bitterness, and don't be blind with love. False patriotism, brother, listen. On lonely Golgotha stands a cross with my Lord raised to the sky, and all who kneel there know he stands for what? Liberty for you and I. Much more proud to be called a Christian, to be named with the ransomed and free. I'm not ashamed. Are you? I'm not ashamed to proclaim that old rugged cross is my statue of liberty. America, on purpose.
I'd say so. Lord, I pray you use this lesson to reinforce our faith in Christ and the foundation has the foundational privilege we have to be Americans, pilgrims and pillars of the faith, beacons of light, not just in prosperity, but what's getting ready to happen. Let us be true to our calling as your children, your saints, pilgrims of a heavenly country. Help us to be a light, Lord, like we were to the world in prosperity, as we need to be a light to the world in what's getting ready to happen with your displeasure and your compelling holiness to send judgment to America. May we be the mouthpiece of love coming from the cross as we warn people about judgment to come. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.